For several weeks, I've been talking to you about how to think right, how to believe right, and how to speak right. And now what I want to do is shift our attention to the subject of receiving, how to receive. I have known several people in my lifetime who were very generous people. Talking about people who would give you just about anything that they had. If you went out to eat with these people, they insisted on paying for it every time. If you went to their house, it would almost drive you nuts, trying to give you something to eat, trying to give you something to drink. It's always wanting to give you something. And I'm talking about people who really didn't have a whole lot to give. As a matter of fact, at times it was awkward to watch them pay the bill at a restaurant because I could tell they really couldn't afford it. Didn't really have that money, but they'd do it anyway. And I noticed something else about these people. If I insisted on paying the bill, they would get upset. I mean, I had one man just flat get mad at me because I beat him to the punch and I paid for the meal. One guy's wife told me that her husband did not like for me to pay for the meal when we went out to eat because that made her husband feel like I thought I was better than him. That's what she said. Have you ever known anybody like that? I've known several of them in my lifetime. Now, here's the point that I am making. I am talking about givers who can't receive. Givers who can't receive. These are people that God wants to bless, but they won't let Him bless them. Now, if we don't think too deeply about it, we just kind of assume, well, everybody can receive. Well, let's kind of shift gears here for a moment because I don't want to talk about money. We may do that later on, talk about, you know, giving and receiving in terms of finances. But what I want to talk about, what I want to focus on, is receiving your healing. Receiving your healing. Now, perhaps I should make these comments and then we'll quickly move on. When it comes to your healing, there is not anything that you can do to get healed. Believe. Right? Believe. I think that's why receiving healing challenges a lot of people. It's because if there was just something they could do, they think it would be easier to receive their healing. I know a lot of people with physical problems, serious problems, and so I have questions that pop up in my head like this. Why does it seem like they just can't get healed? Why does it seem so hard? Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. Why? What have we not learned about receiving that can change this? Now, I'll tell you, if everybody we prayed for immediately had their healing manifested fully and completely in their body, we would not be talking about this. But you know as well as I do, that does not happen. Now, I'm being very careful about my choice of words here because the Word of God declares that we were healed. And I am not in any way saying otherwise we were healed. What I am talking about is that span of time or that gap or whatever you want to label it between what the Word of God says that we were healed and the full manifestation of that in somebody's body. What is it we don't know in there about receiving? There must be something. Don't you think so? So that's where I'm coming from. Now, as I was praying about this, the Lord spoke to me, and He drew my attention to the story of the lame man at the beautiful gate. And so I began to pray. I'm going to read it in a moment, but let me tell you first what the Lord said. He said, as you go back over this story and you study it, every little phrase of it, you ask the question, why? Why? Now, I am very comfortable with that. I ask that question a lot anyway. So when the Lord said that, I thought, well, okay, this is cool. I can do this. I like this, as a matter of fact. Here's the story. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see now and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Let's go right back to the start and start asking why. Why were Peter and John going to the temple? They were going to pray. That's right. That's an easy one. Why did they pray at the ninth hour? That would have been about, guess what, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Think about it. We meet at the ninth hour. Okay? It was a Jewish custom for them to pray 3 times a day. And one of those times was the ninth hour. Now, Daniel is the clearest example of this that I know of anywhere in Scripture. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Now, over the years, many of the Jewish people had developed this habit of praying 3 times a day. But this is what I find interesting. I have actually talked to any number of people who made it quite clear that they think that the key to receiving your healing is to pray a lot. I've had people tell me that. But now follow the story. This guy, in this story, does not seem to have prayed at all. Not at all. He is outside the temple. He is there every day, but he is not there to pray. Besides that, when Peter gives the explanation about this man being healed, Peter never mentions anything about them praying. In fact, the man got healed before they went into the temple to pray. Now, prayer's good. I believe in prayer. Prayer is necessary. We ought to pray. Prayer is important. I'm not saying it is not. But just praying a lot does not seem to improve your chances of receiving your healing. And I said that the way I meant to say it, because I think my phrasing fits the idea of praying a lot. You'll catch on later, okay? Now, I know that what I'm saying might offend somebody. Well, I'm sorry, but what I want you to see is what's in the story. And I'm not looking at anything that's not in the story. So here is a guy that gets healed, and there's no praying. You ever notice this? Just take a little side trip with me for a moment. Think back through the Gospels at all those people that Jesus healed and answer this question. How many of those people did he pray for? None of them. Oh, but since Jesus was healing them, who would he pray for if he'd have prayed? Well, who did he pray to when he prayed at other times? He prayed to the Father God. So it was necessary to pray to somebody in order for them to receive their healing. He would have prayed to the Father, but he just spoke to them. Did he not? Now, that's a whole other series in and of itself. Okay, just threw that out there for good measure. Let's go to verse 2. This tells us that this man was lame from his mother's womb. Say this out loud. This guy was born crippled. Now, here's the question. Why? Why? Asking that question is what led me to another story. And it's a wonderful story, but just for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just read a short portion of it. And it's John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. The other guy was crippled from his birth. This guy is blind from his birth. And Jesus' disciples ask him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now that's the part that often gets really, really messed up. I'm going to come back to that. Jesus goes on to say, "But I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The disciples in this little story are basically asking the very same question that I am asking. Why was this man born blind? My question was, why was this man born crippled? Now, the disciples thought that they knew part of the answer. They thought the man was blind because of sin. They just didn't know who to pin the blame on. So that's the part they wanted Jesus to tell them. Do we blame mama? Do we blame daddy? Do we blame the boy? Who do we blame here for this blindness? Whose sin was it? They really thought that's why he was born blind. And I know that Jesus' answer really threw them for a loop when he just said neither. I know, I've read it hundreds of times in Scripture. There's no real pause there, but I know Jesus very well. I just think that he just threw that word neither out there and stood there for a minute before he said anything else, just to let that settle in on them. Neither. Sure, they had sinned. We know that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody sinned, we know that. But that was not why this man was blind. Now, I'm going to get to the rest of what Jesus said that day, but this is where the Lord really started talking to me again. Now listen, I'm going to say this several times. This is what he said. One of the things that makes it so hard for some people to receive their healing is because they think that what is wrong with them is their fault. I'm going to read that again. One of the things, there are lots of things, but one of the things that makes it so hard for some people to receive their healing is because they think that what is wrong with them is their fault. They believe that they are sick because of something they have done. They believe it is their actions, their decisions of the past that have made them sick or has brought this disease. Now be sure you hear this. It is not your fault if you are sick. If you have a disease, it is not your fault. Now, I am not repeating a commercial that they played 9 million times a while back. And so I don't even know if I dare say the rest of it. If I do, you'll remember it. I don't even know what they were advertising. It is not your fault. You are not alone. Well, it's true. Say it out loud. It's not my fault. Say it again. Say it again. It's not my fault. Say it again. You haven't got it yet. Say it again. Say it again. If I am sick, say it. If I have a disease, it's not my fault. Well, then whose fault is it? It's the devil's fault. Oh, but if I had not smoked, if I had not done drugs, if I had been a better person. Listen to me. If the devil had not done what he did, none of these other things would have any effect on you whatsoever. It all goes back to him. You know, maybe there's things in the past that made it easier for some disease to attack your body. But none of this would have happened if it had not been for what the devil did in the Garden of Eden. And as long as anyone continues to accept full responsibility for what is wrong with them, it will be difficult for them to turn loose of it. And I know, I've never heard this before either. Never heard anybody talk about this like this. So here I am, out in deep water again. It's getting pretty comfortable out here. But you know what? Deep down, some people believe they deserve what is wrong with them. They really do. There are people who do not believe they deserve healing. That's pretty bad. But what's worse is to believe that you deserve whatever's wrong with you. That's really serious. A person like that's going to find it hard to receive their healing. No matter what has been a part of your past, I don't want you to see yourself that way. I want you to see yourself the way God sees you. Amen. You don't deserve to have anything wrong with you. We got to park here a while. I said, you don't deserve to have anything wrong with you. What I said is, you don't deserve to have anything wrong with you. I know what my mama taught me when I was growing up. She was a wonderful mother. I loved her with all of my heart. I still love her. Even though she's in heaven, I still love her. You understand what I mean by that? But my mother taught me to expect to get sick. She expected me to get sick. Everybody gets sick. You're going to get sick. That's the way she thought. That's the way she believed. Every time some crazy disease would come through, she was absolutely sure I was going to get it. Well, all the other kids got the measles. You're going to get the measles. No. No. No, I'm not. I'm a little bitty guy. No. What do you mean, no? I don't want the measles. Well, you're going to get them anyway. No, I'm not. I'm not having the measles. It's stupid. The measles are stupid. That's what I'd tell her. Somebody in the neighborhood got the mumps. I said, what in the world's the mumps? She starts describing it. She starts checking me for mumps. What are you looking for? The mumps. I don't have the mumps. Well, you might get them. No, I'm not. What do you mean, no, you're not? No, I don't want them. Well, you know, you're going to get them whether you want them or not. No, I'm not. Why not? Because I don't want them. Mumps are stupid. Even the name is stupid. Whoever came up with a name of a disease like that? Mumps. Dear Lord, chicken pox. Chicken pox? I eat chicken. What's the pox got to do with it? Now, why was I like that? I don't know why I was like that. I just thought, sick, that's a waste of time. I still think that way. I'm busy. Make somebody else sick. Leave me alone. Somebody's got nothing to do. I'm trying to get you to think about this, maybe in a little different way to what you've thought about it before. Say it again. I don't deserve to be sick. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe you were made in the image and likeness of God? Do you? You really believe that? Well, then say it out loud. I believe I was made in the image of God. I believe I was made in the likeness of God. I also believe, according to the Word of God, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, here's my question. Is He sick? You ought to be able to finish that. If He's not suffering, you ought not be. Amen. If He's not sick, you ought not be. I ought not be. But I know people are. I know that they are. I know that they hurt. I know that they struggle and suffer with different things. I know that. But I want you to say it one more time. I don't deserve to have anything wrong with me. Now listen, the Bible never says you came to steal, to kill, and destroy yourself. What it says is the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus went on to say, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you really believe Jesus died for you and was raised from the dead for you, then you believe you deserve life. Amen. What are you expecting out of life? Life and more life and abundant life and blessed life, because that's what He paid for. I guarantee you one thing. If I go out to eat with any of you and I order a filet mignon and I pay for it and they bring me a chicken bone instead of that filet mignon, I'm going to get a little upset. Because I paid for a filet mignon, not a chicken bone. And there's an awful lot of people that are actually living with far less than what Jesus bought and paid for. Any physical problems we have are because of the thief. Anything that is wrong with you is His fault. I know there are some people who are so mean that we want to believe that what is wrong with them is because they are so mean. You might not admit that, but I will admit that. But what is shocking is usually those mean people are the healthiest people we know. And that just doesn't seem right. But Jesus said, this guy was not blind because of something he did. And I believe we can say the same thing about the lame man. He was born that way. He was not born crippled because of something he did or because of something his parents did. And I am suggesting the same thing about you. And beside that, if your physical problem was because of sin and you confessed your sin, the sin is gone, so the sickness and disease should also be gone. If you got rid of the cause of it, why wouldn't you get rid of the results of it? I'm about to get you backed in a corner. I'm trying hard. See, that's the point of that story about the man who was let down through the rooftop. You remember that story? Remember that story? They got up on the roof, they ripped off the roof, and they let this guy right down in front of Jesus. And where does that story go? What does Jesus go with it? The very first thing He does is forgive that guy's sin. And boy, they get excited when He does that. And what he's telling them, well, if God has the power to forgive sin, he certainly has the power to heal. Amen? Now, I know somebody will hear this and they'll say, well, you know, you just gave people a license to sin. They don't need one. They'll do it anyway. Now, they won't be afraid of the consequences. Being afraid of the consequences does not keep people from sinning. If it did, there wouldn't be any sinners. For that matter, being afraid of the consequences doesn't keep people from doing other things that they know hurt them, other things that they know will kill them. You know, I've been on some very high places in my life, looked out over the edges of steep cliffs, you know, been way up high on bridges. If you've ever driven across the Chesapeake Bay, that's quite an experience, just going across that bridge. You know, there are people that tie rubber bands to their ankles and jump off of stuff like that. I'm sorry, that does not compute with this brain at all. So yeah, there's things that I'm afraid of the consequences I'm not going to do. What if the stupid rubber band came off? What if it broke? What if they didn't attach it right? I ain't coming back up. It's going to be splat. And I know that. So I'm not going there. I'm not trying that. But you know, that does not work all the way across the board with everything, because there are people always doing stuff that, my goodness, you know it's going to hurt them. You know, anybody that is not already a smoker, I'm going to be careful here because I don't want to upset anybody, I don't want to offend anybody, I don't want to give you the wrong impression or anything. Just listen to me. But anybody that is not already a smoker, if they saw these latest commercials on TV about smoking, wow, they're hard to look at. Gee, I don't know why anybody'd ever start smoking, but people start smoking for the first time every day. Every day. Somebody else picks up that habit. People still smoke. You do know that nicotine is a very, very addictive drug. It is. It has a powerful addiction. The American Heart Association says it's one of the hardest addictions that there is to break. And we saw that, Don and I did, repeatedly in the former drug addicts that we worked with in Fort Worth. We saw them get set free from heroin just like that. I mean, just immediately, and still smoke. And they'd tell us, why, you know, I got rid of that. Why can't I break this? And there are studies that show that the amount of nicotine that has been in cigarettes has been increasing over the past few years to where it is a much higher percentage than it used to be. You talk about hypocrisy. You've got the tobacco companies on one side spending millions because of damage that's done to people because of smoking, and then on the other side doing everything they can to get more and more people more addicted and to make it harder and harder for them to break that habit. Now keep listening to me. We could be pious and we could say, well, they never should have started in the first place. Or we might say, well, I quit, why can't they? Listen to me. Everybody is not the same. And neither I nor anybody else has any right to sit in a place of judgment over people like that. That is not our place. I know that there are people who do things they shouldn't do. Every person that's listening to me, here or somewhere else, has done something you should not do. Somebody be bold enough to help me out here and say this out loud. Who's my volunteer? You'll say what I'm about to say out loud. You are a very daring group. Lee, you're elected. You're elected. Say this out loud. I have never done anything I should not do. You just did. Because what he said wasn't true. He's just following me. He's just helping me out here. But what I'm trying to say to you is we're all in this arena somewhere having done things we should not do. And since that's the case, we're in no position to look down our nose at somebody who's doing something else that we don't particularly like or care for or agree with or whatever. They know whatever that is hurting them. They know that as well as we do. It used to really bug me to go to church and hear people that were doing things get beaten up by some pious person in the pulpit that I know some things about and know that in other ways their life wasn't any better. Come on. And there is no way that a good God is going to look at a person who is sick or a person who has a serious disease and just say, well, that's just too bad. You brought that on yourself. That is not going to happen. Not with my God, that is not going to happen. He is not going to look at a person that is sick. He is not going to look at a person with a serious disease and say, that's sorry, that's just too bad. You brought that on yourself. You're on your own. God is not going to do that. It is not going to happen. Now, I'm going to come back to where I started. As long as a person blames themselves for what is wrong with them, it's going to be hard to receive their healing. Let go of the blame. I don't know that I've ever said this, publicly or otherwise, but I remember it very clearly. When I had that accident when I was 19 years old, I went through a period of time of blaming myself for falling into that machine. The floor was wet. It had dough on it. I was in a biscuit making factory. Made canned biscuits. And we were cleaning the place up. And there was water everywhere. The floor was just as slick as it could be. I blamed myself because I should have been more careful. I blamed myself because I should have gotten more sleep before I went to work. I blamed myself because I had stayed up. I'd been up about 36 hours when this happened. I blamed my boss for putting me on that machine. I'd only been there a week. And I blamed him, and I blamed this for blaming, you know, didn't do a bit of good, didn't help me at all. Finally, one day, I just had to say, you know, it happened. It happened. And it's not doing me any good to blame me or anybody else. And I finally found the right one to blame, and his name is Devil. Because if he hadn't done what he did in the Garden of Eden, the floor couldn't get slick. I couldn't fall on it. I couldn't slip. Come on. He's a little devil. He can handle all the blame you want to put there. Pour it on. Now, if you blamed yourself, forgive yourself. You know, if you've already admitted 1,000 times you blew it, well, God heard that. God forgave you the first time. Now I got to just slow down and deal with this. This is where the message of faith and the message of grace must commingle. They must come together. Because I'm telling you, the message of faith has at times been pretty hard. It has. It has. I've watched people endeavoring to use their faith, but they just somehow could not accept that they were good enough for God to answer their prayer. But listen, you can't make yourself good enough. You never will. You never will. Besides that, you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. God has already made you good enough. It's called His grace. It's called His righteousness. Amen. Let me take you back to the story of the blind man and finish that statement that Jesus made. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now, I've heard people take that statement and basically make it say, God made this man blind so he could heal him. I've heard that preached. Well, that's like turning this into some kind of circus act. That's the way I would identify it. That is not what Jesus is saying. I want to make it very simple. As long as people focus on why they are sick whether that's some sin, some bad decision, some relative, some genetic thing, as long as their focus is on that, the wrong person is getting all the attention. Basically, the glory is going to the devil. The devil is basically being exalted. The devil is the interloper. He is the outsider. He is the intruder. He is the trespasser in our lives. He deserves credit for nothing. I said credit. Blame for everything, credit for nothing. Let's just get that clear. Blame for everything, credit for nothing. He's the cause of all the pain, all the trouble, all the suffering in this world. If it had not been for him, we wouldn't be dealing with a lot of things that we deal with. But there's no way I'm giving the credit to him for anything good. This is the best explanation that I have of this story of the man born blind. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We belong to God. God should be glorified in our lives. No, God will not take credit for sickness and disease because he has never caused any sickness or disease. God will take credit for the healing because Jesus is the healer. And what Jesus is telling those people is if you have been paying attention to the devil and what he's done long enough, I'm going to heal this man because it is time to turn your attention, your focus, your praise, your all, and your admiration to the Father God who made you. Jesus is telling us, I came to take the attention off the devil and put the attention on God where it belongs. The devil has been manifesting his stuff in the earth long enough. I came to manifest the power of God. That's what's going on in that story. It's not the parents' fault. It's not the young man's fault that he's blind. This is a manifestation of what the devil's doing in the earth. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to get the upper hand because I have the upper hand. I'm going to show you God manifested in the earth. His eyes are going to open. The devil has been showing you what he can do. Let me show you what God can do. You have no idea how hard it is to make a person be born blind. I just did a little research. I was curious. And studies say that only about somewhere between 2 and 4% of the population is born blind. Now, that's a whole lot of people. But after thousands of years, the devil's success rate and causing babies to be born blind is still pretty low, between 2 and 4%. But it's like Jesus is saying, let me show you how easy it is to heal blind eyes that have never seen anything. It's this easy. And he spits on the ground, and he makes mud, and he smears it on the guy's eyes and says, go wash it off. And when he washes off, he can see. Wow. 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 That is a demonstration of God's power and God's grace and God's mercy in so many ways. God is not holding back your healing. No. And certainly not because of something in your life or something that you've done. You might be holding off receiving your healing because of something you know about yourself that you've not let go of. Well, let it go. Turn it loose. Don't put the focus on what the devil has done any longer. Let God be glorified in your body by healing you. It's easier for God to heal you than it was for the devil to make you sick. You need to say that. It's easier. It's easier. It's easier for God to heal me than it was for the devil to make me sick. Let's get the proper balance in this thing. I want to be really clear. What I believe about you cannot keep you from receiving your healing. The only way that could happen would be if I knew about healing and you didn't know anything about it and I didn't tell you. I mean, the only way I could do that. But you know about healing. So I cannot keep you from getting your healing. But what you know about you and what you believe about you can keep you from getting healed. You can let that block your healing. Change what you believe about you. You are redeemed. You are a child of the Most High God. You have been made righteous. You are in right standing with God. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are precious in His sight. You are holy. You are without blame. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can't change anything, your past. But the good news is you don't have to. God has changed you, and that is what counts. Embrace it. Boy, there's so much more to this. That's just a couple of why questions. You can tuck those away and say, okay, I got that much. I got that much. Whatever it is that I'm battling in my body, that I'm believing God to heal me of, it has nothing to do with who I was, has nothing to do with what I've done, has nothing to do with sin. I can pin it all back on the devil. Okay, I'm that far along. Y'all ready for part two? There's more to this, folks. There's more to this. There's more to this. I don't know where we're going from here. I have not prepared part two. But I will. But I'm telling you this. Listen very, very carefully. Please listen to me. The arena that the devil plays in is the mind. That's his arena. He has no access to your spirit. None. None. Your physical body can be exposed to germs, to things that are contagious, and there are things that can be transferred to your physical body in that way. We know that. But of the three, your spirit, your soul, and your body, listen to me very carefully. The arena of the mind is the one that the devil has access to. But when it comes to the arena of the spirit, that's the one God has access to. Amen. Are you listening to me? And the ultimate result of what happens in your body is which one of those you give the precedence, the preeminence to. Which one of those you let rise up and control things in your life. So there's times when you simply have to shut the devil out of your mind. In fact, y'all do that anytime and every time. Don't let him say the more than one word, just enough for you to know that he's there, and then shut him up. Amen. Get him out of your head. Get him out of your mind. There's many things in your spirit. We just put some more there. That's what we've been doing for the last 45 minutes, is putting deep in your spirit with the Word of God that anything that you face in your life in a physical way, it is not because there's something faulty about you or something that God is upset with you about. It's never that. It's because the devil is mean. How mean is he? Mean enough to go to hell. And that's where he's going. So he'll do anything to you that you let him get by with. But you can stop him. Did you get this? Did you get this? Did it soak in? Did it really soak in? I'm back to page one. We can start over. I'm doing my best to help you folks. I really am. I'm teaching things I have never heard in my life. I don't mean that somebody else hasn't taught it. They probably have. Because there's nothing new under the sun. We know that. But I'm digging. I'm after answers. I love you. I want to see you whole. I want to see you well. I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to see you in pain. I don't want to see you struggle with sickness and disease and physical problems and all that kind of junk. I don't want to be that way, and I don't want you to be that way. So I'm after answers. And I may not always get it all right and say it all just exactly right, but sooner or later I'll hit the right note. Amen. And if you'll take it to heart, you'll see victory in your life. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? Praise God. Father, I thank you for teaching us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here, for filling us, for speaking out of our innermost being the secrets of God. I am by no means, Father, being critical of anyone who's taught anything good about healing in the past. Thank you for all of it. Thank you for what we know. Thank you for what we've come to understand. But we know there's more we need to know. There's more we need to understand. There's ways we need to say things that are more helpful than we've been able to say them in the past. We're looking to you, Father, to help us do that. We thank you for making us well. Right now, thank you for your presence. Thank you that the presence of the Lord is here to heal today. The power of the Lord is here to heal. Without somebody touching you, take that healing. Receive it now. If you don't deserve to be sick, then you certainly deserve to be well, because Jesus paid for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah.